You know, how many times have you asked yourself, gosh, I would love to glimpse into the future? You can with Project Merlin. You just have to learn how to read the tracks. Simple as that. We'll be back in a moment with George Hart and Paul Gersio in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, Paul Gersio, George Hart with us. Paul, I'm getting flooded with emails. People want to know how to find the app, so would you take them through that for me?
Okay. They're available on the icon on your phone or a tablet, okay? Every smartphone has an icon which takes you to the apps, to their app store. On Apple, it simply says App Store. On Androids, I believe it says Google Play.
It's Google Play.
Okay. When you get to the store, you search for Time Tracks, no spaces, TimeTracks. You have to get the spelling exactly right because there's got to be a million or two of these things, and the names are very close. If you get the right one, it will say Time Tracks by Merlin.
Okay, and what does it look like? Is there a special logo to it?
Well, yes, there is. It's a yin-yang logo in black and orange and
that'll help people.
Yeah, and it's easy to find. Once you get there, the problem, of course, is do you have an account with those stores? If you don't, they're going to ask you. They want money, so they're going to ask you for a credit card or whatever it is before you can do this. And the initial entry is 99 cents. I would really recommend you sign up for at least a month, because that'll give you plenty of time. A month is going to cost you, I think it's $3 or $4. I don't remember exactly. Even a year is under 30. Okay, you get a year of the future in your pocket for $30. Okay, I mean, this is, you know, it may sound like an infomercial, but the problem here is that this is remarkable. There's never been a technology like this. Nobody's tried to copy us. In 25 years of doing this, there is absolutely nothing out there like this, because they don't know how this was done, so they can't replicate it. And people who thought this was just a big scam, it was we had a number generator that was doing this. Now they get a chance to actually find out, because they can go into the past of their own life and look and see if it matches.
That's right. It works on sports teams, everything, doesn't it?
It works for whatever you're using it for, basically. And you can check, you know, you got a job offer. You went out to lunch with a guy, and he made you a job offer. He leaves. You pull out your smartphone, and you plug in the time and date of that lunch, and you look to see if this is going anywhere. Okay, and you know what's interesting about that? It may not be going anywhere, but it may start going somewhere 3 or 4 years later. Mm-hmm. So you might say to yourself, "Well, I'm not going to join these people now, but I'll come back and knock on their door." And I will thank them for it, but I'll say, not right now, but I'd love to come back 3 or 4 years from now and talk to you, because you can see at that point it might actually develop into something.
Or maybe you get the better job offer the next day from somebody else.
Absolutely, and that's often the kind of thing that happens. You're getting a no, basically, because something better is going to come along. And one of the things we have a very hard time with clients doing is getting them to wait for a moment that has the kind of legs to it, what we call legs, that mean it's going to go somewhere. You can want to start or open a business or have a grand opening or whatever it is, and the day you want to do that has no legs. Or conversely, the reverse is also true. Let's say you want to have some elective surgery done, and the date the doctor gave you has too many legs. Okay, you don't want to do that. You want to do it on the most benign day you can find if it's elective surgery, and the most exotic day you can find if you're opening a business.
We're going to get to calls in a second, Paul and George, but you guys did a track on Tom Cruise. What was that all about?
Well, one of the things is that Tom has been a superstar for many years now. He's produced blockbuster movies like the Mission Impossible series and whatnot. That hasn't maintained. It started to change right in the period we're in now. And if you look at Tom Cruise's Time Track, it's going through one of those windows where the whole career is about to go through a change. And maybe in Tom's case, he's not going to be the box office giant he's been.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
And the tracks show something like that.
I'll give
dramatic.
You a really interesting one that happened today. Anybody that watched the Today Show this morning, they saw Katie Couric's homecoming. Katie is back on the Today Show. Well, what's interesting is she couldn't have picked a better day, okay, as far as that. Today has legs to it, real legs
yeah.
to it. But what's really interesting is that when she left to go to CBS and started that CBS experience on exactly the same day that, I can't think of her name now.
Rosie O'Donnell.
Rosie O'Donnell. Thanks, George. Rosie O'Donnell started her show. Both of those failed. And if you looked at the start date for both of them originally, you would have come to that conclusion. Well, Katie's back on the Today Show, and if you were watching the news today, Rosie is supposed to be back on the View.
On the View, yeah. They made her an offer.
Same day.
Yep. Good point. Let's take some calls. International line, Terry is on Ontario, Canada. Hi, Terry. Welcome to the program. Go ahead.
Hi, George. Good morning, George, Paul.
Hi.
I'm struggling trying to figure out as just a normal average guy how I can apply anything that is related to it. I think you're onto something, but I don't fully understand how I can apply it. Can you help me out?
Is that you, Paul?
I can take that. You want to do it, George? No?
Well, I'll say a couple of things here. As Paul just indicated, if you have career choices coming up, you know, start dates for employment, a day to perhaps begin a business or start to apply for one, it can suggest days that are really good to launch something like that. This week would be a perfect example of a good time, that right now the time track would indicate there'd be activity starting now and continuing strongly for several years. Now, there's the other side of that coin that Paul has talked about with clients for years. If you've got a minor or major medical operation scheduled, it's really advisable to pick a time track period for that procedure date that just has practically nothing going on, because you want this to be as routine as possible. There are other ways that you can do this. If you're putting together a team to begin a startup company with, it might be useful to run time tracks on all the key individuals there to see, you know, how many of them really have strong time tracks going on right now, who might have really clean spark plugs to help you get this thing going, as opposed to people that might be more quiet. Paul, other applications that come to mind?
For sure. One of the things is, and I just did it at the beginning of the show, if you were listening, I said to George, you're moving into a two-year period where there's going to be some extraordinary change going on. Well, the last time George was in a comparable time like that, several years ago, I said, you know, watch out for new offers and new things that are an addition to what you're now doing. Remember, George?
Yep, I sure
okay.
do.
And they showed up exactly when I said they were going to.
Yeah, in more ways than you know.
Well, probably. That's the unfortunate part about what I do. I don't get the feedback, you know, as often as I'd like.
I should have called you, I guess. I should have
done
that.
We should have actually done this not on the air, but actually off the air, when we could have talked about stuff we wouldn't want, you know, all of those eavesdroppers out there, of which there are many, okay, listening in on the details. But the thing is, let's say for Terry, let's say you ran your own time track, and you looked and you noticed that 15 years ago there was one of these very exotic periods of time, and that was when you started the job you're in, or you got married, or whatever it is, and you look forward about 5 or 6 years, and there's another one of those. Well, that gives you an opportunity to start to look around and see, well, what do I want to adjust in my life? Because there's going to be an adjustment period, And maybe the smart thing to do is to put some plans in place that are the things that I'd like to see happen, because if that period of time can make them possible, then I will have set the, I will have set things in motion to take advantage of that. Most of us have those periods of time arrive with no warning and with no ability to really capitalize on them. And if we had known, look at it this way. If you knew, and I can tell this to George Norrie as well, if you knew where the big changes were going to be in terms of years and months in the past, would you have made some different changes?
That's the best part of this. Free will with a little knowledge.
Absolutely.
Let's go to Brett in Hot Springs, Arkansas, east of the Rockies. Hi, Brett. Go ahead.
Yes, good evening, Mr. Norrie, Dr. Hart. It's a pleasure. It's an honor, sir. Question.
Yeah.
Going back to the 1993 bombing of the World Trade Center, right up to this date, do you see the possibility of a martial law taking place in the form put forth to the American people, such as national security? When now, when in the 90s, we had the possibility of taking out possibly arguably one of the most horrible terrorists in the world, and passed it up. But now we're dealing with Hamas, the Taliban, who've thrown the veterans under the bus. And the administration seems to be leaning towards a lot of, the morality's okay. What's your take on this?
I'm not sure Merlin can decipher whether there's going to be martial law or not. Paul or George?
I'll tell you what I think, though. If you add 21 years to 1993, you come up with what?
Well,
2014.
Here we are.
Okay, and things have been relatively quiet in the Department of New Domestic Terrorism of a substantial sort. We may be about to move into another one of those.
Yeah, Paul, if you run that, and the beauty of the app is that as this conversation's been going on, I ran February 26, 1993, 2015, this year, but particularly 2015, it could be a real cause for concern.
Yeah, what a surprise.
And that might be the trigger for the kind of action the caller
is
asking
about.
Well.
And, again, listening to Coast to Coast regularly and scratching one's head about what is all this ammunition being bought for in the United States, maybe you can put together an interesting narrative or scenario there.
Well, yeah, Brett may be onto something in time tracks.
Well,
may
isn't it FEMA that's collecting all of that?
FEMA's buying it. Postal Service is buying it.
Every other agency.
They're all buying it.
It's the ones that don't make any sense at all that are a matter of concern.
Yeah. That's with FEMA, you could find the formation date for FEMA, but with everybody else who knows, we'd have to play with that one.
All right, next up we go to Mike in Sanford, Mississippi. First-time caller. Mike, good to have you with us.
I kind of got a question for George.
All right.
Because I was listening earlier where you were basing it biblically off of the 7 years of drought and 7 years of in richness. And my family's more or less had what we've always referred to as a seven-year curse. My dad was an engineer for Martin in Denver, and we went through the Great Flood there in 64, and then we moved to Mississippi and went with the Apollo program, and Betsy hit us this year we got here. And then, of course, we've been through Camille, went through the layoffs of the NASA program.
Mm-hmm.
And Katrina.
You've seen it all.
Yeah, it's just been what we call this, referred to as a 7-year curse. And I'm kind of curious if because I got no way of doing it. I'm unemployed myself right now, have been for quite a while. I used to design transformers, and you had Mr. Furstein the other night on, and I can tell you that we design stuff that won't take EMF damage, but it's for the government.
We need it. Yeah, good point.
Well, exactly, because I design what you call pad mounts for underground utilities at Howard Industries.
Okay, how about your question here?
Well, my question is, if I were to plug in, and I don't really have a way of doing it, could you go down to your birth date exact time?
How specific? Well,
That's what we try to start with, if somebody knows what it is. The closer you can get to the beginning of the episode incident you're looking to figure out, the more accurate it tends to be. So, you know, if you we often can't get exact times, and certainly can't get them for celebrities and things. So we have to work with, 6 a.m. or noon or whatever it is. But when you can get the exact time, it's going to be a little more precise. The closer you can get to the beginning of it, the closer you can get to the intervals in between. But what I was thinking of while Brett was talking is that if you have something happen at one of those major intervals that's negative, there's a tendency for some of that to repeat at additional intervals down the road,
right.
Partly because it's kind of made a groove in your psyche, and when you feel things starting to change, there's almost an expectation that things are going to go sideways, and if that's the expectation, you can bet they will. I don't think it's a curse exactly, but I know that if you know what's happened in the past and you don't step away from that by doing something dramatically different when one of these periods comes along, the past tends to repeat itself. So, because it's the thing we're most familiar with when that kind of an energy comes along.
George, is there any way in the next evolution of Merlin that you would have below-the-line spikes for negativity?
That gets to the core question that Paul and I have never successfully answered. That is that we can talk about periods of active intensity, but putting a good or a bad
spin
marker on that is really tricky. Paul, can you see any way to do that?
No, you know, that's what astrology does, and that's one of the things when I studied that, and I did study it, okay, and I dismissed all of that, you know, that squares are bad, and, you know, grand crosses are bad, and trines are good, and all of the stuff that astrology has, they indicate, you know, great periods and terrible periods. I don't find that it works that way. I never did. What I found was those periods are busy, and they're busier than the periods around them, and they often have something to do with what happened 7 years earlier and 21 or 2 years earlier if you happen to be old enough, or 42 or 3 years earlier if you happen to be old enough. If you actually go back and examine what happened at previous intervals of change like that, which the time track will tell you when that was and when it will be, if you keep track of what happened at those times, you're going to see elements of those things replicate at intervals later on. The trick there is to not step in it again like you did the last time.
All right, we're going to come back and take final calls, final thoughts with Paul Gersio and George Hart as we talk about Project Merlin. On our next Coast to Coast program, first hour, we're going to talk about some real science. Are people seeing orbs, or is it simply ball lightning? We've got an expert to talk about that, and we shall be back in a moment with Paul Gersio and George Hart as we take your final phone calls here as we talk about Project Merlin on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. George Hart, Paul Gersio with us, and of course, we will take your phone calls as well. Paul and George, with everything that you've done over the years, are you seeing anything right now that you would say could scare you?
I think, George, several of the things we talked about tonight fall into that category. This situation in the United States could not be more serious. This could really take the country apart 238 years down the road. And the interesting thing in terms of the question you asked before the break of putting a positive or minus sign, you know, having Merlin curve go below the line, if you think back just a couple of years when Barack Obama was first elected, all of this could have worked out very differently, and this is where the aspect of free will comes in. There's a tremendous wave of energy out there. It's an issue of how you surf it. Barack came in with all the good will in the world behind him. He was widely recognized as being extremely intelligent and a very charismatic speaker. If he had only had the Bill Clinton or Tony Blair political gene, the willingness, the ability to build consensus and work with compromise and inspire and lead people through persuasion rather than coercion, this could have been a very different story, given that the United States right now is enjoying a tremendous surge in energy production, both natural gas and oil. This could have been an American renaissance rather than a near-death experience. But that's where we are right now.
George, I don't think you've ever put it better. I agree.
And then you throw on top of that, like, major Roswell disclosures, and we could have a situation of widespread social disruption here. You know, we've been told for decades that's the reason that this information has been withheld from the public, because the psychological implications could be massive, and we may well be looking at that at the same time.
Paul, 1948, we should run some tracks on Israel. What do you think?
Well, I've been looking at it. Interestingly, we may see a resumption of the Intifada that started actually in December of 1987. There's a very good chance in the upcoming year and a half or so, that we're going to see that. We may be on the edge of it now. I was going to run down a couple of things we didn't get a chance to talk about really quickly.
Sure, please.
So they're on the record. The troubles in Northern Ireland, starting perhaps with Gerry Adams getting arrested and trying to bring back some of the issues right. That were going on. That looks like it might turn out to be a problem, and we might see some additional efforts to try and resolve that, because if not, we may slide back into it. The former president, George Bush, 43, there's some change, maybe medical, coming up here. I know he had some surgery done recently. There may be more. In terms of presidential pretenders in the upcoming period, I don't see Joe Biden running. I don't see Hillary winning the nomination if she runs. I don't see Mitt Romney winning, but he may very well run again and may lose again.
Huh.
If the audience goes to that list of time tracks we have posted on Coast, they can actually run the two most likely candidates right now, at least we thought, in the current period we're as far away as we can be. And remember, we were the people who in 2006 and 7 and 8 said Hillary was not going to win, when absolutely everybody had it as the next president. So we're pretty good at that part. If you look at Andy Cuomo, who's on the list, and Chris Christie, if he hasn't shot himself in the foot too badly with the George Washington Bridge scandal, may end up being the candidates running in 2016. Mitch McConnell and Allison Gaines, who are running in Tennessee or Kentucky? Kentucky, I think it is. That looks like a draw. If McConnell loses, the Democrats are very likely to maintain control of the Senate in the 2014 election. And one other one, Al Gore has been floated as a candidate for 2016, and I don't see that happening. So that's just some of the stuff we're playing with right now.
Okay, let's take some more final calls. We've got Ron in Rome, New York. First-time caller. Go ahead, Ron.
Hi, George. How you doing?
Great. Thank you.
Yes, my question is, if you use a numerical system similar to the Da Vinci Code to make predictions...
Excuse me?
I mean, how do the numbers stand out?
I'm not sure what you're talking about.
Yeah, tell us one more time, Ron, where you're coming from there.
I'm calling from Rome, New York.
No. What you're asking about?
My question is, do you use the numerical system similar to the Da Vinci Code?
The miracle system?
Numeric. Do you use numbers at all?
Oh, a numeric system. Well, yeah. Well, this is all math. I mean, this is all math. But it's not based on anything having to do with the Da Vinci Code, which was a novel, I remind you. Okay, not a history book. What we're basically using is a boiled down system that includes elements of things that I studied in the earlier years that are drawn out of numerology and astrology and so on, where I was looking for a common thread that all of those systems were basically trying to capture, and none of them captured it completely. And this is the very first time, I think, that anybody's come up with a system that has all of that stuff incorporated and boiled down into something that works about 7.5 to 8 times out of 10. So that's been our history over 25 years. This thing is right a minimum of 7 times out of 10, sometimes as much as 8.5 times out of 10, depending upon how many time tracks you run for the question you're asking.
That's an amazing, amazing percentage.
It is. It is.
You guys
no,
are
let,
talking
let George
about
go. George?
George, at the root of all of this is something that you've mentioned at least several thousand times on the show, in saying that there were no coincidences. And I think for some of your listeners, it may ring true that when they look at things like astrology, if you strip all the Baroque ornamentation that's oftentimes put on that, there's an underlying reality about timing in the universe that Paul's been able to drill down to. Now, I know for many people, their minds just recoil off of that can't possibly be going on. But I would assert that there are many aspects of the universe that are far stranger that our minds have been able to wrap around so far, and that's related to the world of coincidence. I become more and more convinced that coincidences aren't little isolated episodes that are really peculiar. I think we live in a continuous river of coincidence and just occasionally spot some of them. But for every one we see, we're probably missing 10 or 100 that go sailing by us. The wider your perception becomes, the more you become aware that there's some really large manifold or matrix going on in the universe. Merlin time tracks is one way of plugging into part of it. We're probably 100 years from understanding what that's about, but that doesn't mean that we can't use the tool right now.
I'll remind you, George, that you once described this as a coincidence detector.
He did.
So, yes, he did.
He did.
And I thought about that because I've always wondered whether coincidence is just a term for a law we haven't figured out yet.
Yeah, I think it's fate, you know, could very well be just that. Marcel in Salt Lake City, west of the Rockies. Marcel, you're up with us. Go ahead.
Thanks for answering my call, George.
Sure, my
I'm
pleasure.
Just getting back to you. I'm just calling because I've been trying to download the app Time Track.
Okay.
And as I was downloading the app, my cellular network went off, and as I'm getting on, it's saying that the app is no longer available.
Are you iPhone or Android?
iPhone.
Okay. I know Android. I've just looked at it, so I know it's there. What about the iPhone, Paul? You want to look at it?
See if whether it's at the App Store?
Yeah, iPhones.
I'm sure it's at the App Store.
I'll let you check that if you can.
We will, but I it's more likely that there's been some complication.
It's in the Google Store. I just saw it.
Okay.
I know that. Maybe we've slammed it.
Well, you know, that's not impossible. You know, one of the things we always forget about all of this is that this is a very fragile and brand new technology, not only the time tracks, but the smartphones, the digital world we live in. We now take this stuff for granted. It's brand new. Okay, and you know what? It sometimes doesn't work.
Look, without getting involved with your clients and your proprietariness of all of this, but will governments come to you and say, I need to know this?
Well, back in 95, the Joint Chiefs did come to us. And George then explained something to me, which I was a little horrified to find out. I was all excited because we originally thought this would be great for the intelligence agencies, but he said, you know, we can't pitch it at them. They have to come to us. Well, they did.
They did.
And I said, oh, goody. And then he said, don't get so excited. He said, this is going to fall into the great black hole at the Pentagon, never to be heard from again. I said, why? He said, because the people who occupy these roles are cycled in and out of those jobs about every 18 months or so. And we spend most of our time as government contractors, which is what he was doing, explaining to the new guy what the old guy already knew. Right, George?
But I would add to that, Paul, and I know you can't release the names. There are some people at the highest levels of the government, both active and retired, who have been personal clients of yours, basically using this technology for decades to advance their careers and to make the key government decisions.
That is true.
I would guess if we did a time track, and I don't know, Paul, if we've ever done this on, like, the late Neil Armstrong. I bet in 1969 that would have showed a huge spike.
It might very well. I never ran Neil Armstrong. I know there's a new book. Jay Barbary from NBC's got a new book out on Neil called A Life in Flight, I think. And I'm planning on getting it and reading it because I was always fascinated by Neil. To take a look at stuff like that. One of the things about having these apps is that you can do that.
You can do all that. I don't need you anymore for this, Paul.
Well, you know what? That somebody said that to me, and it may have been you. You know, what if you do this, they won't need you anymore. Well, yeah, they probably will, because I have 45 years experience with this stuff, and what George once said, that what we did was we took what you were doing in your head and we made a computer do it. Okay, so. It still helps to have all of that knowledge to be able to apply. I mean, if you threw an astrology horoscope at me, I could read it.
Yeah.
Okay. Not that I want to, but there's things that will tell me that this won't. Believe it or not.
Let's go to Jeff, Lenexa, Kansas, east of the Rockies. Hi, Jeff. We'll get you in here.
Hey. Good morning.
Hi.
Earlier, you alluded to the different agencies purchasing all the ammo. If you'll notice, they're all federal agencies. Mm-hmm. I mean, the post office has its own SWAT team, and
yep.
And the Department of Energy.
I think Social Security Department guys bought some too, didn't they?
Sure. Yeah. But what it is it they have in common is they're all federal agencies, and I found it ironic that Obama had alluded to the fact it was relating to Abraham Lincoln. And I think this was all hinting to the fact that there could possibly be states that would succeed from the Union. And that way he could call federal troops in.
In the period of time we're in, that is probably not completely out of the question.
Well, I think there's a strong leaning toward that. I'm former law enforcement, and I think it is a high probability because this is why they've demonized the Tea Party people who want small government and want a constitutional-based government. And I think that's a probability coming down the pike here.
Well, that very may be.
And towards the point that time tracks that have been aimed at right now is that these are remarkable conversations to be having. You know, you and Paul and I have lived long enough to know that this is not the way things were in the 60s or even the worst of the 70s, except for in extreme radical quarters.
Yeah, I agree. But if Merlin were around then, George, it would the spikes would be there for a lot of people.
Yeah, that's the interesting part about this. The technology would have worked if we had had it 50 years ago or 100 years ago. We just didn't have it. And so consequently, we guessed at a lot of things that now we wouldn't have to guess at, at least not as hard as we do. One of the problems I often have with skeptics is they say, well, what good is this? It doesn't tell you exactly what's going to happen. Well, nothing does.
No.
Nothing will tell you exactly what's going to happen. But if you know when it's going to happen and how big it's going to be and how long it's going to last and when it happened last time, boy, do you have a jump start
on everybody else. I'm convinced if you know the news, if you watch it, if you read it, if you hear it, and you're on it, you're going to see these tracks with these various subject matters, if not even yourself, and you're going to be able to help yourself make a better prediction of what might happen.
Absolutely.
But
right.
That's why Coast to Coast is such a natural home for time tracks. The two work together as a great tool where you provide your listeners with the essential information they need to think through what the time tracks is telling them.
Yeah, absolutely. And I like the idea, Paul, of going back just to track things that occurred as a test.
Well, this gives skeptics an opportunity to find out if we're just pulling their leg.
I love it. Paul and George, the clock is coming up to us. Paul, would you give out your websites again?
Well, the best way to get in touch with us is projectmerlin.com or timetracks.org. We have a toll-free number. It's 866-298-7688. I'll give it to you again, 866-298-7688. At TimeTracks is our Twitter handle, and Time Tracks is what you go to when you go to your Google Play or your Apple Store, your App Store, or on the tablets. Just find the icon, press the icon, go search for that name, and you'll be able to load this thing on, and you'll be able to find out whether it really works.
Super. Paul and George, thanks for being on the program. Always, we're going to watch some of these other time tracks and see what happens in the not-too-distant future. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudasur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Boros, George Knapp, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safer.